Okay, we're going to take your angelic stories, and we're also going to continue our chat with Nick Bunick about his latest work, Time for Truth. I want to get into his thoughts on forgiveness when we come back as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Nick, let's talk about forgiveness. We'll go to the calls. So you think we should forgive no matter what?
Well, the first forgiveness I talk about is the kind that Jesus used 2,000 years ago in order to heal people, and it's self-forgiveness. Well, I take the people through a process that I learned from my soul memory of 2,000 years ago. That let's say, for example, a person has been deceptive in their life. Say, has there been a time in your life when you deceived another? Now is the time to forgive yourself. God forgives you. Jesus forgives you. You're forgiven. So I take people through a tremendous number of different negative karma that they have, whether it be deceit, whether it be anger, whether it be hostility, whether it be dishonesty, and ask them to forgive themselves if there's ever a time they've hurt another individual, and they will be forgiven in order to release the negative karma, which has a tremendous impact on our bodies and our lives. Now, as far as forgiving others, I don't believe in unconditional love. I believe in universal love. I feel the same way you do, George. I don't believe in unconditional love. If somebody does something to another of some tremendous harm, I can't unconditionally love that person. Mm-hmm. But I can put forgiveness in my heart for my own benefit, not for their benefit, because we are a temple of God. Every one of us have God inside of us. We're a temple of God. And if we can release ourselves of anything negative, whether it be hatred towards another person, we also are bettering ourselves in terms of becoming a one with that part of God that's inside of us.
All right, let's go to the phone. Stephen in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Stories or questions? Go ahead, Stephen.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I had a quick story I'll tell really quick. In 79, I became a Christian. Around 1980, I was sitting with my sister late in the afternoon talking about God. We were talking about our lives and such, whatnot. And I could hear a woman screaming at the top of her lungs off at a distance. And I drove my car in the direction, and then I saw a bunch of people parking on top of a bridge, an overpass-type bridge. I drove up and arrived, and this young man had hit a median. He was on a motorcycle, and he flew the length of the bridge before he impacted the ground. I went up to him. He was no longer breathing. The blood had pooled around his body and was coagulated to where it was roughly about an inch to 2 inches thick. I immediately felt the love of God, this overwhelming presence and the love of God towards him, almost as if it was going through my body. And when I looked at him, I even though he was an adult male, I saw a child, and I saw how precious this person was to God. And what I wanted to do was pray for him, but I felt intimidated because the police had arrived and other people had gathered around. So I hesitated, and he was rushed off to the hospital. He was dead, pronounced dead on the site. And I remember feeling really distraught myself and upset about the fact that I didn't act on what I felt I should have done, and that was to pray for him. Well, I prayed and asked God for another opportunity, and I told him, I said, you know, if this ever occurs again, I will act on it and act on my conviction. And about, what was it, in 1986, I was with a girlfriend. We're driving down the road, and this man hit the median in the center of the street with his motorcycle at night. He didn't see it. He flew through the air, and I could see his body just sliding along the road. Oh. And when he came to a stop, we gathered around him. A bunch of people had gathered around him, and I felt that same intimidation again. But I wasn't going to deny my conviction. And I said, everybody lift whole hands right now. We're going to believe God that this man is not going to die. He's too young to die. And let's pray for him. And we began to pray. And I didn't know what to pray, but the words came to me from the Spirit. And I said, this man is too young. I bind Satan and the spirit of death of robbing him of his life, and I command the life of God, the life force of God, to enter his body right now in the name of Jesus. And immediately he started breathing. He was bleeding out of his ears, his nose, and his mouth. It was no longer breathing. And he coughed up a bunch of blood and immediately started breathing and then sat up. And I visited him the next day in the hospital.
You saved his life just by using that power.
Yeah, it's the power of God's love, Stephen. That's a beautiful story. As a matter of fact, I'd love you to tell that story on my website, which is nickbunick.com, That's Bunick, spelled B-U-N-I-C-K. It's an interactive one, and people are sharing their stories, their spiritual stories on my website.
And
I would encourage you to share that story with us on my website.
Got to be hundreds of stories, Nick, if not thousands.
Huh? I'm sure.
Let's go next to San Francisco. Deidre's up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Deidre. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Thank you so very much for taking my call, and thank you, Nick, for taking my call. My husband just passed away 4 weeks ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, and we were married for 15 years, and this has been extremely hard for me, extremely hard. I feel very lost, and I feel very vulnerable. I'm lost,
yeah.
And I'm scared, and...
Deidre, let me share with you. I know that when we lose a loved one, it's very hard on us, but there is no such thing as death. There's only a transition of the soul.
Yes, I understand that. Nick. The only thing is I'm not feeling like I'm getting enough message. I don't know what direction to go. I don't know what to do.
Well, let me share with you. If your husband could talk to you directly, he would say to you that he wants you to continue on with your life and enjoy life as much as you can and celebrate his memory rather than mourn him. Our loved ones, when they make that transition, they don't want to be mourned. They want to be remembered with love, and they want you to go on and make the most of your life as best as you can. It's a transition you have to go through, but that would be the worst that your husband would have if he could talk to you, because remember, he's with God right now. He is with God, and someday you'll be joining him, but he wants you to enjoy life as much as you can every moment and let others enjoy life through you.
Do you think he's with me?
He's always with you. Always.
Okay, and I need to pray to my guide and my angels more so that I can get more. I'm not feeling enough. I need more strength and more guidance here. So I guess I should do more.
Well, I don't want to sound commercial, but one of my earlier books was called Transitions of the Soul, and it has 86 stories of people like yourself who lost a loved one and how the loved ones came back to them in one form or another to let them know that they're still in their lives and they're with them and they still love them and care about them. And I would suggest you might want to read those 86 stories. And it's called Transitions of the Soul, which is a book that I had written with people that were on my website at that time that shared those stories with me, and we went ahead and published it. And it's exactly the type of thing you're talking about, and I think it'll give you a tremendous amount of comfort, Deidre.
Thank you, Deidre. The angels that you've talked about, what about the fallen ones? Do they exist?
No, I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, you know, in the Old Testament, the word Satan was not considered an evil. It was a messenger. It was a Satan angel that God would use for different services. I think it's in one place in the Bible. It talks about there was a person that was going to tell the Canaanites where the Israelis were located to attack them, and God sent down a Satan angel to stand in front of the mule so the mule couldn't move or turn. I don't believe in that type of thing, George. And I believe with all my heart and soul, from information that I've gotten from the Spirit, that there isn't such a thing. Although I realize that some people that want to believe that, and they've been taught that since childhood, and a lot of that has to do with fear. A lot of the religious teachings were done in order to create fear in people, because they felt they could have a greater control of people's lives through fear than they could through love.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, we go to Soldotna, Alaska. Susie's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Susie.
Hi. Finally got through. I've been waiting since 1996. I'm glad that you took my call, and I'm enjoying listening to both of you. Coming back from California during that year, it was in May, and they still had snow up by Mount Shasta. And I was with a friend. She was driving. And it was bad out. Snow on the ground, ice, and sort of sleeting rain altogether. And the roads were terrible, and we passed a truck on the side that had gone off the road. And as we ventured on, and it was nighttime, and I reached down to the floor and to get a music tape. And as I looked up, I said, gee, you're going 70 miles an hour, Beverly, slow down. You're going to kill us. And I kept continuing to reach for the tape, so my head was down from the dash. And when I raised up, I said, where did those two trucks come from? Well, in front of us, two trucks that were pure white, no dirt on them, no license plates, no nothing of any significance that would tell you where they were from. They were mother of pearl, glowing white, slowed us clear down to almost 30 miles an hour and took us through those curves. And as we came out of those curves, there was one long curve. You went down a hill and then it turned either right. And those trucks went down the hill and then disappeared into the mountainside. And we both looked for white trucks the rest of the evening. We're so upset and so shook up and knew that we'd been saved.
Yes.
We thought we had by angelic beings in a, two semis, because it's illegal to drive that way. We couldn't pass. But I was wondering if anybody else had had experience on it by Mount Shasta.
Well, you know, what you experienced, Susie, was the intervention of a miracle, which is, and the definition of miracle is the intervention of God in your life.
I felt that, yes.
And when I say God, I mean also could be God's messengers or spirit guides or angels. Yes. And that's a beautiful, beautiful story. And I've heard a number of stories like that from other people as I've been traveling on my journey the last few years. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
In your entire, I don't want to say career, Nick, but life, what one story has affected you personally the most?
Wow.
Is there anything out there?
There are so many of them. I could talk about them for hours and hours and hours. I had a friend. There was a woman named Joyce Green that I have a nonprofit corporation. She's from upstate New York, and she had a nonprofit corporation, too. We were talking on the phone one day, and she told me that a girlfriend of hers in her 30s was dying from cancer, and she was heartbroken. And I said, let me send you my manuscript. My book hadn't been published yet. I said, let me send you my manuscript and see if it'll help you. A few days later, she called me up crying like a baby. She said, Nick, before your manuscript arrives, 3 nights in a row, I was waking up at 4:44. I thought I was losing my mind. I told my friends, I don't understand. I'm waking up at 4:44, 3 nights in a row. And I got your manuscript, and I read the third chapter about the 4:44 experiences, which means the power of God's love. And she said, it touched my heart. Well, she gave the copy, the manuscript, to her girlfriend that was dying of cancer. And the girlfriend immediately started having 4:44 experiences. And a week later, she went back to the doctors for examination, who had told her she had terminal cancer, and she'd been healed, totally healed. It was the power of God's love that this woman experienced as a result of having touched, having come in contact with her angels and guides through the 4:44 experience. And I can tell you right now, Josh, there'll be many, many of your listeners that are listening to this show are going to begin to have 4:44 experiences. If them to recognize that this is your angels and your guide's way of letting you know that indeed they're in your life, just like if they were sending you a goodwill card or flowers or candy, letting you know they love you and they're there supporting you.
All right, Daniel, truck driving in Texas. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hello there, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I've gone through a very, very similar experience. And unfortunately, I didn't catch the first 30 minutes of your talk, but I did catch the second 30 minutes when we were talking about the 1,000 steps. What I was given was everything is a cycle, and it was like a wheel with 1,000 spokes, and we had to travel each spoke each different time. But the one thing I wanted to ask you was, within my experience, each spoke was also a part of a different dimension. And when we get down to the last 9 spokes, each dimension will be able to flow into each other. And for the last, I'd say, 5 years, I've experienced 3 times when I thought I was dead and wound up not being, and realizing that I was transferred, my spirit was transferred from one dimension to the other, so they all come together on the last spoke. I want your opinion on whether you believe that your steps could be multidimensional or not. I'll take the answer offline. Thank you.
All right. What do you think, Nick?
Well, as far as the wheel, there is, I don't know if it's a Hindu or Buddhist religion, one of those religions that do believe in reincarnation, say that the wheel is when you first come in, when you're born for the first time from the spirit world into the human world, you can continue to revolve around this wheel until eventually you reach 360 degrees and go back to becoming one with God again. And I know that's part of one of the religions that I think this gentleman has been exposed to. But multidimensional, I know that our spirit, our soul mind, see, we're not, I think it's important people realize, preachers talk about spirit and soul as if they're the same thing, and they're not. Spirit is that part of God that's inside of us, that's eternal and immortal, that can never, ever change and ever be harmed. But the soul is not that same as the spirit. The soul is the memories of the spirit. It's the value systems, the personality. The soul has the memories of every lifetime that we've lived, every lifetime. So the soul is multidimensional, not our conscious mind, but our soul mind is multidimensional, just as I was able to make contact with the soul mind of the Apostle Paul, because my spirit and soul 2,000 years ago manifested his body. It lived as the Apostle Paul. So I do believe that the soul is multidimensional, but the spirit is always, always eternal and immortal because it's part of God.
And in terms of reincarnation, how many times do you think you can reincarnate?
I think it's indefinite. As many times it takes you to eventually evolve to become one with God, those thousand steps. Some people are, it could take 100 lifetimes, but in the spirit world, they don't have time. Time is not a dimension in the spirit world. It's only a linear time here in our dimension. So I think it's irrelevant. God has tremendous patience. He'll wait for you as many lifetimes as it takes to reach the top. But unfortunately, sometimes people go backwards. They go down the stairs rather than up, because rather than living their lives and embracing universal love and universal compassion, they might be doing just the opposite of living a life hurting other people. And as a result of that, not making any progress in terms of having the spirit evolve higher.
How did you become the subject of The Messengers when that book was done in 97? How did that happen?
Well, after we went ahead and had the 26 hours typed as a manuscript, and we called it He Walked with the Master, and I had four major publishing companies in New York that wanted to publish it, and I didn't have the courage to do it, George. I didn't have the courage to do it. I said, people are going to think I fabricated the story, or that I'm insane, and it's going to affect my family, it's going to affect my professional life and my personal life, and I decided not to do it. I said, that's it. And then on August 24th of 1996, I had the first of many, many angelic experiences. And one night they woke me up, and they told me the 444 would play a very important part of my life. That night, I received a phone call from a gentleman who's Canadian, who was in Geneva, Switzerland. I'd only met him once in my life, and he said to me, Nick, I'm here in Geneva, Switzerland, at the Hilton Hotel. Something woke me up. It's 4:44 in the morning here, and I don't know why I'm calling you. I have no idea why I'm calling you. That was on a Saturday night. On Monday morning, I went to work, and one of my colleagues, Rick Eckhart, was standing in my foyer, and he had five sheets of paper in his hand. And he said to me, Nick, something woke me up last night, which never happens. I wrote these things down. I know them for you. And he handed me the sheet of paper, and the top it said 4:44 a.m. And he written down many of the things that the angels had told me 2 days earlier. In fact, I reprinted some of those pages in Time for Truth, in one of the chapters. Well, to answer your question specifically, is one night they woke me up at 4:44, and they told me that the book was going to be written in Seattle. When I went to work that morning, I thought, I don't know anybody in Seattle that's a writer. But when I got to my office, there was a message waiting for me that a man by the name of Gary Harden from Seattle had called me on the phone.
I love it. Hey, we'll be back with some more final calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Robert Zimmerman joins us along with Robert Zubrin as we talk about space, some incredible stories about space. And the rest of the week, well, I'll tell you tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with our special guest tonight, Nick Bunick, as we talk about his work, Time for Truth. Nick, where do you get the book, Time for Truth, by the way?
Well, it just came out about 4 weeks ago, but it should be in all the major stores, as well as on the internet and Barnes and Nobles. So it might not arrive in some of the stores yet, but I think it will be in all the stores very shortly.
All right, great. Okay, back to the phones we go. Final segment. Doris is in Richmond, Virginia. Go ahead, Doris. Thanks for calling.
And thank you for having my call. And you and Nick are putting on a great show. I like the way he calls you George. He reminds me of that English story guy you get come on every once in a while.
I think it's that Bostonian accent of yours, Nick.
Yeah, I think it's real neat. But I have two things, and I'm not going to waste a lot of time. The first is when I was 24 years old, I got stabbed with a 10-inch knife, and I stayed in the hospital for 2 months. And at the end of 2 months, or it might have been a little longer, my parents and family was told to go home. They would call me. I was going to pass over at night. All right, well, the next morning I was up kicking and everything, and I felt great. And I have all my memories and everything, but something was different. I think I have a step-in soul. I think that my old soul, it was too much for my old soul to stand it in. I think it just went back to God, and I believe that I have a step-in soul. That's the first thing I wanted to tell you. The next thing, I'd like to comment on that later, too. The next thing is my mother was sick, and she had cancer. She was terminally ill, and my sisters, two of them, and myself, was taking care of her 24/7. All right, she had to have medication around the clock, and we were worn out, so we put her in the hospital and to perk her up, give her a blood transfusion, and to give us a break, too. And I was supposed to go back to the hospital at 1 o'clock in the morning and to take my turn to be with my mother, and I overslept, and it was 5 o'clock before I got there. Well, I walked in the door, and I got off the elevator and walked right straight on the door, and when I went in, there was a figure, full figure, that went in with me, and the figure was like a television set that's off, and it's black and white flickering up and down, and it was a full figure of a person. And they walked in with me, and my baby sister was there. And I said, who came in with me? And she said, no one. I said, yes, they did. I saw them. I searched the whole room and never found anybody. Opened the closet doors and everything. My mother was asleep. And so she said, I've got to go. Okay, she'd been there all night. So I walked her to the elevator. I kissed her goodnight, and I walked back in. Instead of walking on the right-hand side of the hospital bed, because we had a chair sitting there, I walked around and boxed myself in on the backside. I leaned over and I kissed my mother and I said, good morning, sweetheart. I said, how do you feel? She said, who have you got with you? I said, no one. She said, oh, yes, you do, too. So she saw him, too. And she talked with him all day long. She said his name was, as much as I could get, she said, Jury. And she said he's the oldest man she'd ever seen in her life. And he talked with her. And when he finished talking with her, he told her he would be back in 3 days for her. And before she had called my grandmother and her and my father and everybody, they'd already passed over, and nobody ever answered. But then she had conversations all day long. He elevated himself at the foot of her bed and talked to her for about 8-9 hours. And when he told her he'd be back in 3 days, he did. He came back evidently in 3 days. And we was in the room, and you could feel the Holy Ghost. He was there. The whole room was just pink and warm and comfortable. And she passed away. So, and it was like he said he would be back in 3 days and get her, and he did. So, and that was the other thing that I had to tell you, and that's about it, I guess. But I would like to have some comment on that step-in soul.
Well, Ruth Montgomery, who was a very famous authoress before she passed on, wrote a book called Walk-ins, where she believed that a walk-in was a spirit, a soul, that takes the place of another soul for one reason or another, whether that soul is so weak and so tired that they need to have some other soul come into the spirit and become part of it and take over that life. So it's very, I myself have never experienced that, but I once was a keynote speaker at the Walk-In Annual Convention in Minneapolis, and I met many people who all believe that every one of them were walk-ins, like you described, that a soul had come in and taken the place of their original soul, for whatever reason they had a need for that.
All right, let's go to Alameda, California. It's Linda's turn at Coast to Coast. Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Thank you so much, George, and
sure
thank
thing.
You, Nick. What a program. Nick, first of all, I want to let you know I am blind from birth, and when I first heard about your books, The Messenger in God's Truth in approximately 98, I just rushed out and bought them, and I read them with a scanner in a special program, and I'm going to do the same with this new book, and I just can't wait. Also, can you comment on the idea on the teaching that we create our own illness, and is that done obviously subconsciously as we're living day to day, or is that something that we choose before we come into a body?
I'm sorry, we create our own what? What was the word?
Illness.
Illness?
Right. For example,
yeah.
I think I probably did create the fact that I'm blind, but I think I did it before I came down here.
Well, you know, when we're born in this life, and the new, when our spirit, when our soul is born in spirit, and a new baby, and we bring with us many things from our past lives. That for whatever reason, we have lessons that we have to learn. And sometimes we're not aware of what it is, and we think we're being punished, or we think we have some disadvantage when actually it might have been a purpose behind it. So it's very conceivable that when a person is born and they have some something that is not functioning the way that it would normally be, that it could be as a result of a past life experience, and there's a purpose for why they're experiencing it. I'm not saying that that's true in your case, Linda, but I think the important thing is just to know that God loves you, that you are a child of God, and that you have angels and spirits that really care about you and work out for you.
Oh, I know I do, and I thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Dale.
You're welcome. Let's go to Nick. You are Nick. Let's go to David on our first-time caller line. David, where are you calling from?
Bolton, New York.
There you go. Okay. Go ahead,
Dave. Hi, George?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Hi. I just wanted to call and let you know about this experience I had when I was like 14 years old. I was living in Tennessee at the time, and I was going to go to the store with my brother, and he had his license. He was 16, and we were getting in the car to go to the store, and we got in the car, and we were ready to back out of the driveway, and all of a sudden I was getting sick all of a sudden, and I wanted to go so bad with him because, you know, getting out of the house for a little while, but I got so sick that I couldn't go with him. So I went in the house and I went to sleep. You know, I went in and laid down. I wasn't feeling well. And I went to sleep and, like, you know, I woke up 2 hours later and he had just come in the house and he was crying and everything. And I was like, wow, what happened? What happened? I woke up and I'm like, what happened? And everything. He's talking to my mom and he had wrecked the car and he flipped the car off a cliff and the passenger side had crushed right into the seat, and I would have been right in that passenger seat if I would have went with him, you know?
Sometimes our angels and guides can do miracles by persuading us to do something, even though we don't know the reason why, to find out that indeed there was a purpose behind it. That sounds to me, David, that's what happened to you.
How much of this is fate?
I believe, George, one of my chapters I have in Time for Truth is that we have free will. God gave every one of us the gift of free will, but our soul mind has already experienced everything we're going to happen in this lifetime, even though we're seeing it one frame at a time. So you might call that fate, but I truly believe that just like going to a movie and you go to watch Titanic, even though you're watching the movie's already been made. And we're only seeing it one frame at a time, even though there was already an ending. And I believe the same is true with our lives. I believe our lives have already been determined for us, and we're experiencing it one day at a time, even though our soul mind knows what the future is. And that's why a legitimate psychic can tell you about your future, because they can tap into your soul mind and be able to find out what through your soul mind as to what your future has in store for you.
Cheryl is in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. What a wonderful show.
I like it. Yeah.
Yes. I have an experience that I had when I was 28 years old. I was living in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and it was the beginning of ski season, and everyone was pretty sore from skiing. So we were all going jacuzzi hopping from jacuzzi to jacuzzi in different places, different hotels. And we all piled in one car, and we were all piling in the car one time, and I put my hand on the edge of the door, you know, on the top of the car, I mean, where the door would shut, and the young man that was in the car shut the door, and it bent out when it went to close on my hand. It actually didn't smash my hand. It just bent out, and everyone all night's going, are you sure you're okay? And I was fine. And so my angels are very strong.
You owe them one. You weren't going backwards 50 miles an hour, though, were you?
No, we weren't moving.
No, I'm teasing. I'm talking. I was relating it to what happened to me up in the Sierra Nevada mountains. But that's wonderful. And,
it was. It was really wonderful, especially because I was a single mother with that my job was to do massage for a living, and it was just the beginning of the season. So
You know, a lot of people have an experience that, like you just shared, and they won't think twice about it or realize that indeed something intervened in their lives that took care, that helped them or saved them from something that would have been very negative. And it sounds to me that that's what happened to you, Cheryl.
Listen to this text, Nick, in from Jason in Toledo. He says he saw his mother's favorite statue wink at him days after she had died. Was this a spiritual contact with her? What do you think?
Sounds like it was. I don't see how else an event like that would have happened unless there was some kind of effort made on this on his departed mother to be able to let him know that she was still part of his life.
All right. Next up, Houston, Texas. Judy, it's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Judy.
Hello. I was married 25 years, and I'm listening to the distress in that beautiful woman's voice. And if I could just share two things. First, if you just let your mind relax and not go 100 miles a minute, which, you know, I can understand, I went through it myself, just realize that he is with you and he will come to you in a dream, much like mine did. As a matter of fact, when I decided to just let things go and just see how things were playing out, I was able to see him in an environment that he was walking fine. He had cancer. He couldn't walk at the end there. And he had shared with me that he was thinking about coming back. And I don't know why I blurted back to him. I said, well, if you come back too soon, you're going to be born with a birth defect, underdeveloped lungs, or some kind of lung problem. Subsequently, I've been driving places, and there'll be an accident or something where somebody needs some help. One instance, a motorcyclist had actually slid off the motorcycle off some gravel, making a turn, and everybody standing around was, you know, screaming, you know, he's dead, he's dead. There was some kind of dark, you know, blood coming out the side of his head on the pavement. But for some reason, I was compelled to put my hands on his back. And he reared up, took a deep breath, got up and said, "Don't worry, that was just road rash or road burn or something." But I just want to share with her, please, just put your mind at rest. He's going to come to you, and you sounded in such distress, and you're an angel to your husband. He'll always be there to protect you. Just believe it, and just let yourself relax, and I appreciate that you allowed me this call. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure that Deidre really appreciated your sharing that with her, Judy.
What do you think of the afterlife now, Nick, knowing what you know?
I think that the spiritual world is our home. As I mentioned earlier, we're not human beings who by coincidence have a spirit and soul. We're spirits with a soul that are having a human experience. And I think our real home is the spiritual world. And we are now manifesting ourselves in the body. I'm manifesting myself. My spirit and soul is Nick Bunick 2,000 years ago. I manifested myself as Paul. And I think every person, every one of you listeners, all have the same experience, that we're manifesting ourselves in this lifetime in order to experience the challenge of becoming at one with God again. And that is what our purpose in life is, become at one with God. And that is what our relationship with God is, that we're children of God and that we are eternal and immortal.
All right, we go to Jim, truck driving in Connecticut. Let's squeeze you in real fast, Jim. Go ahead.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, you know, every shows that I have a skeptic. Now, I don't believe what this man's saying is of God, because Jesus said, unless a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You must be born again. And it says, it also says that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I think it's a shame that this guy thinks he's Paul the Apostle. He is not Paul the Apostle. I want to hear your answer up here. I love you,
George. All right, Jim. Go ahead.
Well, that doesn't bother me. God gave us all the gift of free will, and if he chooses, and as I say, I went through a long, long period of time where I didn't want to acknowledge the truth because I know there are people that would be skeptics that would think either I was fabricating it. And there are some people that choose to believe in the devil, and some people that choose to believe in hell and choose to believe that we're all sinners. And if that's their choice, God gave them free will. They can choose it. And I have nothing to argue about with you, Jim. I say to you that God gave you the gift of free will. And if you choose to believe that I'm fabricating this story, you're certainly welcome to have that belief. And I have no quarrel with it.
A minute or so to go. Let's get out your websites again, Nick, if you would.
Yes, my website is nickbunick, that's BUNICK.com, and I welcome all of you to come and visit. There's some wonderful things happening on the website. It's an interactive one where there's many, many people from all over the country as well as other parts of the world that are participating in it.
I generally do angelic stories as we get close to Christmas. Seems to be one of those great times. And remember the old movie, It's a Wonderful Life?
Absolutely.
One of the classics, huh?
Absolutely. With Jimmy Stewart. I love that movie.
Every time I hear somebody mention an angel, I think about old Clarence. Hey,
right.
Nick, thanks for being on the show. Good luck. Time for Truth out there in bookstores. Amazon.com has it as well, right?
Yes, and I want to say to you, George, and all your listeners, God bless you all as you continue on your journey.
All right. You take care. Now, for the rest of the week, Robert Zimmerman and Robert Zubrin join us on our Monday show as we talk about all things space. On Tuesday, Richard Lawrence, UFOs and the Extraterrestrial Message, a great show there. Kevin Warwick, a human cyborg, is going to join us, telling us why he's been chipped. Corey Love joins us, My Journey to the Afterlife, and then we're back on Friday with more open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM, plus an interview with Herschel Gordon Lewis. He's one of the great directors called the Godfather of Gore. For Jason Bowers, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.